Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. I know we will feel the Lord's presence here this morning. A few announcements before we enter our worship time. Next Sunday, we will have a treat in the 10:45 celebration service as the Asbury Prison Band will be leading our worship in that service. There's a celebration service that goes on simultaneous to this service. So next Sunday, we'll have the prison band offer their leadership and music, and it's a wonderful time. The band has been ministering for prisons for several years. Come hear the group sing and be blessed. The United Methodist Women's Summer Circle will meet on Sunday, July 22nd at noon. Nancy Rorex with the Stew Pot will be the guest speaker on that day. An announcement that's very near to my heart, and I hope many of you, this is a real opportunity and blessing in our church. On Saturday, August the 11th, Asbury will be hosting its lay ministry training day. The basic lay servant course will be taught, as well as other courses for advanced studiers. A strong laity makes a strong church. Mark your calendars. If you have any questions, get with Pastor Doug for details. We are a blessed church, and the Lord continues to pour his blessings on us. And we have a special announcement from the SPRC. And for those of you, like myself, that did not know what the SPRC is, the Staff Parish Relations Committee is pleased to announce, after a search to replace our former praise and worship leader for the celebration service, an individual has accepted our offer to join the Asbury worship team. Caleb Conrad, who has been filling in as a guest leader, will be joining Asbury on August 1st as our new praise and worship leader for that service. We know that you will want to welcome him personally into the Asbury family as soon as you can. God's good to us, and we thank him for his blessings. One last thing, at the end of each pew, we have our attendance pads, and we ask that everyone complete those so we can have a record of your visit and report accurate numbers to our district office. And if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you so much. We're glad you're here with us, and we hope that you feel the Lord's presence. At this time, I ask you to pass the peace of Christ with those around you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship this morning. On the wings of the wind, you loosened our tongues, and good news shone like the morning sun. On the dance of the flames, you stirred our hearts, and compassion flowed like a healing river. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Wing your way here and fill us with your fiery love. Our hymn of praise this morning is number 539, O Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God.
remain standing and join in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, page 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Can you come sit right here? What is this? What do I have?
A butterfly.
A butterfly. What does a butterfly have? What does it have? Wings? Yeah. Does it start out as a butterfly or a caterpillar?
A butterfly.
Well, it's a butterfly, but it starts out as a caterpillar. And you know what? God makes us from a worm and a caterpillar to a butterfly. Yeah. He makes us pretty every day, doesn't he? And when he makes us pretty in a new creation, that's how we can get into heaven with God. Yeah? So can you be like the butterfly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the butterflies. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for making me new. Amen. Yeah.
As we enter a time of prayer, I call your attention to the prayer list in our bulletin. Charlie Ward Sr., Becky Sage, Annette Crawford, and Garnet Hawtong. Be in prayer for the family of Herschel Gardner, who passed away earlier this morning. Remember Diane and Van in your prayers, and they have asked to please give them some time before contacting them with your condolences during this difficult time. We lift all of these up to the Lord this morning as we pray. Please join me. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. The hot days of summer are upon us, and as we stand outside, we can feel the warm summer breeze against our face. Even though we cannot see the wind, its presence is undeniable in the swaying of the trees. Your presence, Father, is the very same. We see your Spirit move in and through your people, and we have the blessings and witnesses of miracles firsthand. Thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Lord, we lift up to you those who are sick at home today and those who are in the hospitals recovering from life-saving surgeries. Grant them and their families peace and comfort as your healing Spirit tends to each one of these saints. Watch over us in the remainder of this service. May you be pleased with our praise, our worship, and with the opening of your holy word. We pray these things in the name of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we enter our offering time this morning, please remember the blessings that God has given each one of us and this church that he richly blessed. Join us as we pray this morning. Lord, we come to a time when we can give back to you a portion of that which you have blessed us. May we give you with hearts today to further your kingdom on earth by touching lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Our hymn of meditation this morning is number 605, Wash, O God, Our Sons and Daughters.
Please be seated. Well, today Pastor Mary and I continue in our summer series called Songs of Summer, and you got it. Today's message is titled Summer Breeze. I know that took a few of you back. Well, I'm going to say two words, and two words only. It's going to take you back like that song did, but these two words will generate memories like none other. Attic fan. Now, for those of you who have never slept in a house with an attic fan, you don't know what it's like. Am I right? For those of you that have, oh, wow. After a summer rain, you open the window, you turn on the attic fan, and get some of the best sleep you've ever had. The fan sucks that cool summer night's air into the house, and it is literally, it is so relaxing. That's the memory I have. That's what comes to my mind when I hear the words summer breeze. Well, this morning's scripture, we're going to examine a meeting between Jesus and a man called Nicodemus that had some of the same effects on Nicodemus as a cool summer breeze. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, I invite you to turn to the book of John. We're going to be reading out of chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And I just pray that as we read these familiar verses about the conversation Jesus has with this man, that you hear the words of Jesus and what he really was trying to get across, and may you be blessed by them. John chapter 3. Beginning verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we've read passages that are familiar to all of us about a man, Nicodemus, who sought out Jesus to ask questions. And you're going to laugh, but today I want to examine these verses through the lens of all things an Attic fan. Just give me some personal preference here for a little while. I know it's a stretch, but the memories that I hope to evoke in you go so well with these verses. Growing up in western Arkansas, just south of Fort Smith, we were on the edge of what's called Tornado Alley. My parents' house had a full basement and a hand-built tornado shelter. And when I say hand-built, I mean hand-built. I carried every concrete block, wheelbarrows of rocks to go in between in those holes, fill the holes with concrete, and then steel and 6 inches of concrete on the top of that thing. It was more like a vault than it was a tornado shelter. Every time a severe storm warning or a tornado warning would come over the TV, we would head for the basement to seek shelter in what some called our Frady hole. Well, the encounter with Jesus that we have just read happened for about the same reason. There was news in the air of Jerusalem about a man who had been performing miracles and teaching, and the people believed in what they saw and what he was telling them. Now, this was threatening to the religious elite of the day and to their position in the Jewish society. And just like the majority of trips to the basement in mom and dad's house, Nicodemus made his trip at night as well, under the cover of darkness. But why at night? And why did Nicodemus go himself? As a member of the high council, Nicodemus would have had underlings that he could have sent to get Jesus. And as a member of the high council, the majority of the time, people were summoned into their presence smugly. They didn't go to them. Well, the answers to these questions are simple. Nicodemus had heard the warning coming through the conversations of the people. He knew, as other Pharisees did, that Jesus was legitimate. And discussions had already taken place within the council about Jesus and the approaching storms that were coming. But approaching Jesus at night, Nicodemus limited his exposure, which would have branded him, if he would have been seen, he would have been branded as a Jesus sympathizer. If he would have sent a messenger to go get Jesus, word would eventually have gotten out. I mean, the old saying is, if you have a secret and more than one person is involved in that secret, it's not going to take long for that not to be a secret anymore. Word's going to get out. That's why Nicodemus went on his own and under the cover of darkness to see the warning signs coming over Jerusalem's weather channel, if they were true or not, because there was a storm brewing. You know, when a storm hit Greenwood, as it was predicted by the warnings, we felt pretty safe in that basement. And if it really got bad, we would move to the back of the basement and get inside that so-called vault. You know, we felt really safe in that concrete shelter. Likewise, if you think about it and read those scriptures, Nicodemus had to feel safe in the presence of Jesus. I mean, no doubt, just like waiting on the storms to hit, sitting in that basement, Nicodemus would have felt some anxiety as he was on his way to meet with Jesus. A little side note here. Nicodemus knew where Jesus was staying. He knew. He didn't have to ask, or if he would have asked, it would have blown his impending trip. The high council had been tracking Jesus. He knew exactly, and they knew exactly where Jesus was staying in Jerusalem. But once Nicodemus got into Jesus' presence, there could have been all kinds of storms all about those two individuals. But Nicodemus felt safe. He felt safe. He stayed with Jesus for a long time, asking him question after question. In the first few scriptures, we can tell that the discussions about Jesus and his validity had already taken place in the high council. Nicodemus says in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus did three things in those early few seconds in his meeting with Jesus. One, by greeting Jesus with the title of Rabbi, he acknowledged his position, or Jesus' position, as a religious teacher in the community. Two, he also recognized that Jesus was from God. Little did he know who Jesus was at that point. And three, he recognized the miracles performed by Jesus were of God as well. Three important things. If Nicodemus had not felt safe, he would have asked his questions and he would have run back to the safety of his house. But he didn't. He took time to greet Jesus. He took time to validate Jesus' position, as well as to acknowledge the miracles being performed were from God. Just like when every other person that Jesus encountered, Jesus knew Nicodemus' heart. As a leader, as a member of the Sanhedrin, the high council, Nicodemus would have already known the kingdom of God was ruled by God and eventually would be coming to earth and be restored. But as we read, Nicodemus was told that he would not be part of that kingdom, even as a member of the ruling council, unless he was born again. Now, this was confusing to Nicodemus, and asked Jesus, how could this happen physically? Well, as the explanation came, it wasn't a physical rebirth that was needed to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but what Jesus said was a spiritual birth. But in explaining it to Nicodemus in this fashion, notice, he didn't say no Jew would enter. Jesus said no one would enter into the kingdom of heaven unless they were born again, essentially giving Nicodemus the hint that the kingdom of God was for everyone who was born again, not just for the Jews. Eventually, I believe Nicodemus began to understand what Jesus was trying to tell him. You know, when the evening storms were over in my little hometown, we would come up out of the basement after sitting for a couple of hours and just sitting there and waiting the storms out. We were tired and we just wanted to go to bed. I would open the window in my room right by the bed, so when Dad turned on the attic fan, that rain cool breeze would just blow right over the top of me. It was so calming. It did not take me long to go to sleep. You know, Cindy, we may put an attic fan in our house here real soon, now that I think about it. I'd like to think the encounter with Jesus that night had the same effect on Nicodemus. The trip back to his residence was obviously a lot different than it was when he was taking his trip to see Jesus. On the way to see him, he was anxious, hoping no one would see him, and wondering exactly what would he say to Jesus when he got there. But on the way back, I'm certain that his heart was burning with a coolness of having been in the presence of the Son of God himself. Answers to questions were still bouncing inside of his head on his way back, as wave after wave of understanding, like a cool breeze, came over him, changing not only his mind, but changing his heart as well. To this day, when I hear a whippoorwill in the evening, it takes me back to those nights after a rain with the window open and the attic fan on. There was an old open pit rock quarry next to Mom and Dad's house, and a whippoorwill lived out there. I knew when I heard the song of that bird. See if I can do this. Not bad, huh? The storms were over, and I could safely go to sleep all night long. When I hear one now, as I sometimes sit on my back patio in the evening, it has the same calming effect that it did when I was 12 years old. The encounter with Jesus was life-changing for Nicodemus and had the same lingering effects on him. He took his changed heart back to the high council and actually became an advocate for Jesus. He also changed others' hearts on the council too. We can read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning in verse 33, and I'm going to turn that, where Peter and the other apostles were arrested. See if I can find that. Yeah, verse 33. They wanted to put them to death. Their edict was to be quiet and stop preaching such threatening nonsense. The apostles continued to preach the resurrected Jesus. It was a man, a close friend, who, as a zealot himself, had been a teacher to young Saul before he became known as Paul, who was a close friend of Nicodemus, who had obviously had his own heart changed from the things his friend had told him. In verse 35, Gamaliel, remember the name, Gamaliel stood and addressed the Sanhedrin by saying this. My glasses are not, there it is. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, carefully consider what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered." Listen to this. "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." That from a man whose heart was changed by his encounter with his friend Nicodemus, who had encountered Jesus himself. I've never seen anyone who can fight against a summer breeze. A summer tornado is some of the most powerful winds known to mankind. I mean, they throw train cars around like they're tumbleweeds. Well, just like the summer wind, the Holy Spirit will come and it will go, as the Scripture tells us. We can no more stop it than we can stop a tornado. But the Holy Spirit won't come like a tornado. It will come gently. And He will move the body of Christ from one task to another. But with both the wind and the Holy Spirit, we can see the effects of the wind in the moving trees and the Spirit's effect in the moving of God's people. I ask you, is the Spirit trying to move you to do something this morning? Let us all, each and every one of us, move with the gentleness of the breeze of the Holy Spirit, and let's do what God would have this body do for His kingdom today and in the upcoming weeks ahead. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is Breathe on Me, Breath of God, hymn number 420. If you're visiting with us today, or if you've been visiting with us a while and you'd like to become a part of this church, now's the time for you to come forward and we will pray with you and accept you into this church by whatever means is appropriate. If you'd like to come visit our prayer rails this morning, and just if the Holy Spirit has breathed on you today and you'd just like to come spend some time, please do. Now's the time to come forward, and if you want me to pray with you, be honored to do so. As we stand and we sing hymn number 420. Looking at the weather forecast, we may get a little summer rain this afternoon with that summer breeze, and I know that's going to be cooling. We need it. We really do need it. Thank you so much for being here. I know we're summertime and the attendance is down a little bit, but nonetheless, it's so good to see you. It's so good to worship with you and praise with you and open God's Word with you as well. We're a family, and I know we miss our family of those that are not here today. If somebody has been out for quite some time, I invite you, pick up the phone and just call them. Just call them and just say, hey, blame it on me. Pastor Doug said call you. And then you can call me and give me the warning when they call me. If you would please, bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your presence here this morning. The bells, the music, Lord, we know you heard it in your throne room today. Father, I ask that you watch over your church this coming week. And Holy Spirit, I ask, please breathe upon us and lead us where you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.